Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Welcome to Q4, getting kicked off with futures up nearly 100 amid this global bond sell-off today on the heels of a rough JGB auction. Europe is red on a weak PMI, 45.7. It's the worst in 7 years. Inflation there near a three-year low. Our own 10-year near 175. Got the dollar index at a two-year high. Our roadmap begins with questions about Q4. Investors weighing the trade war and an impeachment inquiry as the fourth quarter gets underway.
Plus, no force can stop the Chinese people. President Xi commemorating the 70th anniversary of the Chinese Communist Party's rule. This is violent protests in Hong Kong ramp up.
Plus, Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg rallying employees against critics, competitors, and presidential hopefuls like Senator Elizabeth Warren. First up, though, investors looking ahead as we begin the fourth quarter after a volatile Q3, which saw the Dow and the S&P extend their quarterly win streaks to three. The Nasdaq fell just short of a similar run. For the year, though, leading the major indices with a 20% gain, S&P up almost 19, the best performance through Q3 since 97. Of course, we know this is all affected by the fact that December was so bad last year.
Yeah, I bet, for instance, Apple's up 42%. So you say, well, wait a second, it's a great year. But remember, Apple pre-announced, you know, the stock had gone down, and Apple pre-announced, I mean, the idea that it's really up 41%. You have to look at all these to see what's up from the pal bear market. What is interesting is this market still has no leadership. It just keeps rotating. I mean, you know, drugs are a leader, and then Speaker Pelosi says, be careful of the drugs. Managed care, and then you immediately get the single payer. You get technology, and then Micron pulls it. You see these packaged good stocks, and then they, you know, one will be good, one will be bad. Retail, it's just watch. It's Walmart, Amazon, Target, Costco, and Home Depot, and nothing else. Nothing else. Right. So there is really just this, wow, what do we do?
The most notable theme towards the end of the quarter was certainly the change from what had been focus on growth and momentum to value.
Totally. That's why the banks even went up.
That's kind of one of the key questions. Will that continue?
You're right. Well,
how much momentum will there be when it comes to these value stocks that have not gotten a lot of attention for a long period of time?
NXPI. You know, that's a value stock. Remember, it broke down. You covered it extensively.
127.50 was where they had a deal to be acquired. But, of course, the Chinese
piece,
never ruling.
I know. Fabulous piece today about NXPI and how it's the backbone for the battery for EV. So, you know, is that an emerging leader tech stock? I don't know. Remember, Advanced Micro and Micron had been the emerging. So I just keep find internally, every time I think we got something going, like Facebook, they rally. It's like, well, you know, Facebook was a great stock for a few weeks, and then Facebook's awful. And I think a lot of it's by Washington. It's by Washington.
Well, market's gone sideways ever since the trade war escalated. Yes. WTO today, again, for the third consecutive year, cuts their global growth forecast, largely because of trade. They see world merchandise trade 1-2.
Wow.
1-2.
And that drives money toward Lennar, which has been a fantastic performer, towards Pulte, which has been good. KB had a remarkable quarter, KB Homes. So, I mean, the rates, mortgage rates going down has actually spurred some housing. But that's, again, while housing punches above its weight, you know, how long is that leadership going to last? Right. I mean, I just find there's no leaders that last.
What do you think? Q4, I mean, seasonally strong?
Yes. Right.
Fed's in a much different place than it was last Q4. Fed's, does that help?
Don't fight the Fed, don't fight the tape, as the late Marty Zweig always said. And I see it that way. I did expect that there'd be more mutual fund selling that second to last week of September. Remember when September got overbought? When it got overbought, we had this big slide, but now we're not overbought. And the beginning of October tends to be pretty good. And then there'll be a couple of months where people say, oh, my, you know, we'll do anniversary of crash stories. Tends not to rally on anniversary of crash stories, but October's been a pretty good month.
Well, you'll also have IPO weakness and repo madness to throw in the mix.
Yes.
Right? Make people a little more
jittery. Reefer madness. I do wonder, we're so Pelotoned. My wife wanted to say, listen, it's not sports bra. Okay, it's Lululemon that hangs on the Peloton.
Oh, it's Lululemon. Yeah, corrected you.
It's not sports purchases. That is Jim, you should never mention it. That is wrong. So I want to correct myself. Shouldn't have said sports bra. Sorry, Lisa. What I really meant to say was Lululemon. So am I clear now? Do you think I'm better?
Yes.
Better at home with that?
But we did spend the end of the quarter talking a lot about the poor market for initial public offerings.
Yeah.
I think poor is a nice, easy way to say it.
Why don't you smile?
Not well received.
Why don't you smile directly at me?
That was one of the worst.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah, that was one of
the IPOs. We're done. Just say no. I'm working on a piece tonight for Mad Money. I know the president pulled the plug on the theory that maybe we'll, like, pull the plug on Chinese IPOs. I think the president should do it just in order to protect our wealth.
Do what?
Stop with the Chinese.
Not allow listings by Chinese companies.
The performance of these is so horrible that that Peter Navarro would have had more ammo had he come on and talked about that yesterday in that interesting interview that he did with Squawk Box.
So you don't think what happens to the fund managers who have billions in these names? What happens to them? These names would be
listed. The MSCI index, yep. Henry Fernandez said on more. Another reason why you have to be just in the S&P. I just really feel that the MSCI decision to make it so that you had to be overweighted, which is something that Navarro talked about. He mentioned Goldman Sachs. It was actually his MSC, the company that said it, that said that China should be allowed in, like, the, you know, kind of the regular, I don't know, League of Nations. But the Chinese don't have the disclosure. Navarro was right about that. The disclosure. I'm looking at the disclosure. They don't tell you a lot. Like of NIO, N-I-O, that stock that, you know, stock went to 10 on a 60 Minutes piece. And is it two? It's a car company.
Jefferies comes out today. The move would completely undermine the international market and would harm the U.S. role as a conduit for international capital.
Please. It'd save us a lot of money.
No, it wouldn't.
What?
Come on.
Oh, come on, nothing.
Come on. If people want to choose to invest in these, they can choose to do so. You want to maintain the U.S. capital markets.
Oh, happy 70th. Happy 70th to you. Hey, Sunshine, happy 70th to you.
I'm just saying.
Really?
Alibaba, you don't want any part of that?
Alibaba's,
by the way, we can't get Tencent. You got to buy it over there. It doesn't list here.
Alibaba has U.S. financials. A lot of the companies that have come public, David, mm-hmm. do not have typical financials. I just don't think that we should allow in our country IPOs.
Short them. Make
hard
money
to borrow.
That way.
They're hard to borrow.
All right.
If you wouldn't bring a U.S. deal, like, you know, WeWork, you think that wouldn't sail right through the SEC? If it was from China, it would. Can you imagine? The Chinese WeWork.
I'm sure there is.
What would that be like?
Likely.
Would they serve mezcal instead of tequila?
Something that we've got for everything. What?
How's WeWork doing with that new team? You know the guy, one of the co-CEOs.
Marty Minson.
Is it starting to come together?
Cable. I think they've got a tough road ahead of them.
You think so, huh?
Yeah, well, when you're losing, what, $1.6, $1.8 billion a year, you've got to cut. You're going to burn through, what, $700 million? You got.
The journal says they have enough cash to get through Q1. Their bonds this morning yielding 11.
Yeah.
11.
No,
it's nice.
You know, when WeWork could ever actually anticipate coming back or trying to come to the public markets is.
Yeah, that's a question.
It's a mystery wrapped in a riddle.
An enigma.
Covered by an enigma.
Yeah, I think that it's an ill-advised deal that they'd bring to the market.
So they've got to. But maybe they're going to find all this stuff to cut that'll really. They'll suddenly realize, what? We're not losing nearly as much money as we thought.
They give away the tequila collection.
Claim that this, yeah.
Maybe he has some of Vicente Fox's own tequila. You don't know.
Who knows?
He's president of Mexico. Apparently, has great tequila collection.
You would know. Although you're a mezcal guy.
No, I mean, this WeWork is all part of this era of, like, please. Save us from WeWork. Give us more McDonald's. Ooh,
yikes.
McDonald's, the guy. Yeah. What does he know?
We're going to get to that call. Bad
the,
call
the
out of
the McDonald's ad's terrible.
McDonald's.
It's terrible.
What?
You know, where, like, the guys, obviously something went bad. You know, everyone's watching a game. And then the guy goes, ooh, and he likes the McDonald's thing. And everyone else is mad. No, I mean, if we're going to sit there and watch hours and hours of football, I want good commercials.
J.P. Morgan, by the way, says Q3 comps are trending below consensus. They expect them to disappoint once McDonald's prints. That's why it's red today.
How do they know? They use some tracking organization.
Yes. Channel checks.
Yeah, what are channel checks?
The streets come up with.
You think that they have a channel check? What are you doing?
I'm texting. Important news people are in touch with me at all times, and I need to respond to them.
I got of important people myself. I'm going important people.
I promise. I listen to you out of this ear, and with this hand, I'm doing something
else. Okay, multitasking. I think the McDonald's call is not a call I want to sell McDonald's off of. That's a classic hedge fund call. You sell it at 211, you buy it back at 213. That's what the pajama traders do. Do not do. I don't like that trade. I know we have to move on. But that kind of trade, that kind of call is. Never mind. That kind of call is a really tough call for individuals to do.
And you would say this even if the call were that it was trending above consensus.
Easterbrook is doing a very good job, and he's instituting a series of technological advances. But it is Chipotle that you want to own. And that carne asada.
Really good.
Oh, my,
is, yeah.
Didn't you think it was
very
fantastic?
Nice. And you're in and out of there. I've started timing
my
time spent in the store. It's under 60 seconds.
It's amazing. Yeah. Now, yesterday I said we got to have the carne asada, and my wife said, no, it's only in New York, they only deliver from 45th. By the time it gets here, it must be from Omaha. They started DoorDash. It was at the house like this. It was at the house as long as it took the Redskins to fall behind.
Saw the New York Times had a story on Grubhub today, though. New York restaurant owners being upset with how much they're taking.
Oh, my God. They take everything.
And talking about actually similar things that you experienced in terms of pages being created that you weren't aware of.
Oh, my God. DoorDash. So DoorDash says that they're a provider, but actually we made it to you with caviar for 25%. Mm-hmm. Then DoorDash buys caviar, and now we're up a creek without a burrito.
Mm-hmm. Tough business, as we know. Meanwhile, guys, Mark Zuckerberg is rallying the troops in a leaked audio of a meeting with Facebook employees obtained by The Verge. He slams Senator Elizabeth Warren's call to break up the social network.
Like Elizabeth Warren, who thinks that the right answer is to break up the companies, if she gets elected president, then I would bet that we will have a legal challenge, and I would bet that we will win the legal challenge. Does that still suck for us? Yeah, I mean, I don't have to, have a major lawsuit against our own government. I mean, that's not like the position that you want to be in when you're, it's like we care about our country and like want to work with our government to do good things. And but look, at the end of the day, if someone's going to try to threaten something that existential, you go to the mat and you fight.
It's tough to understand the audio there. He says, we'll go to the mat. If she tries to break us up, I would bet that we will have a legal challenge, and I would bet that we will win.
Well, this is that new form of antitrust, which reminds me of the old form, when Standard Oil was too powerful. This is Facebook's too powerful, let's break it up. That's a different form of antitrust than we're used to, which was our prices going up because of monopoly.
Right, and in this case, they're not, so
you still
have to deal with the actual law.
Well, the law, David, the doctrine's pretty clear. You do not go after companies because they have they're powerful.
And
that's against the doctrine.
That is right. I think in interviews that I've done with the antitrust DOJ chief, Machen Del Rahim, he's made that point.
I know.
You have to prove anti-competitive.
Right, but, Senator Warren would...
And
would be a different regime if Senator Warren came in. A lot of people are talking about...
It would be a very different regime in a lot of different ways, yes. We know
yeah,
that.
It would be... Would she allow us... to do what we do?
The three of us?
I think so.
I mean, we talk about stocks. I mean,
well, if she tries to stop us, we're going to the mat.
We are going to the mat,
too.
David?
Zuckerberg.
Or we only let it do bear case.
Or the mattresses.
Yes. David, ETFs are going, we go to the mattresses.
Yeah. I think we'll be okay.
But no, the fear of Senator Warren is getting overblown.
Sanders who raises $25 million in Q3, the most of any Democratic hopeful so far.
I can't stop getting Sanders' email. I got 5 Sanders emails yesterday. I mean, between the first game and the second game, I got, just give me $2.83. I mean, it cost me $2.83 to read his ill-advised email. The guy does spam. He gets you no matter where you are.
Well, he's going to be around for a while with that kind of cash balance.
He's going to be around forever.
Yeah.
But I want to stop the fear of Senator Warren. I really think that that's a mistake. I think that there is such a thing called Congress. And I also don't think she's nearly as anti-business. I also think that some of these FANG stocks are so bad, I wish they'd break them up, like Alphabet.
Well, that conceivably could create a lot of value, some say.
There are big companies that are against what Alphabet does.
No, yes, including one we know very well.
So, I like how you just teed that up for him.
Yeah. Reports about Comcast.
You're like Trout.
There's a lot of information that a lot of companies have taken in terms of what they believe is somewhat anti-competitive behavior. Snap did with Facebook. You just do that in the course of a business, and maybe at some point you have an opportunity to use it.
It's called business. What kind of thing did Walmart do to 99% of the small businesses in this country? And no one said a thing. That was fine that Walmart could destroy all the small businesses. Because what? They're benevolent? They're from Arkansas? What is that about?
It was an issue. It continued to be something of an issue.
Senator Warren might bring that up.
It's a little late.
You're an impossible burger to deal with.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's one of the nicest things you've ever said to me.
We are going to talk to Casey Newton of The Verge about that story regarding Facebook and that audio of Zuckerberg. We'll get Cramer's Mad Dash countdown to the opening bell as the futures still look pretty good here as we're watching rates around the world as well. Back in a moment.
Start with trading here in 12 minutes, but first let's get in a mad dash as we count you down to that opening bell. Let's talk a little Emerson.
Yes.
Coming out with an announcement this morning at 7 a.m. Clearly a response, though they don't say it that way, to an activist in their shares. In fact, what may be even more than one activist from what I hear, but D.E. Shaw was outed by Reuters late on Friday. They are there without a doubt. I think they've been talking to management, but we haven't heard from D.E. Shaw either.
Well, you know, David, one thing I learned when I was at Goldman in the 80s was to sell a lot of credit cards. No! Was that Emerson is the one industrial you never sell. Why, Mr. Nightman? Because it's the one that's best run. And you know what's amazing? They're talking about some of the parts breakup. Emerson was always the opposite.
Who's they talking about some of the parts breakup?
This is a Deutsche Bank piece about what the sum of the parts is.
Okay.
They see 12% upside, $74 in some of the parts. David, the idea that this company is some of the parts rather than just one of the best run industrials, it seems like they're after management.
I believe that is probably the case.
Mr.
Now,
Farr?
I don't have a great sense yet as to what they've been asking for. My sense here is it was done a bit prematurely.
What do you
in terms
mean?
Of it coming out in the markets, that they were there and perhaps they're not quite weren't quite ready. But we get an announcement this morning, Jim, from Emerson saying they've concluded, following discussion with their board over the course of this year, they've concluded a thorough review of their cost structure, capital allocation, and portfolio will inform decisions that drive strong value creation for our shareholders in what we expect to be an uncertain environment.
But isn't that what they do anyway?
Isn't that what you do?
You evaluate and think about the uncertain environment?
They go on to say they anticipate a challenging geopolitical and economic landscape over the next couple of years and are focused on ensuring that they're well positioned to drive out performance and shareholder value. They do go on to affirm their full year 2019 GAAP earnings per share guidance.
That's a big deal.
360 to 370, Jim. But kind of a weird little press release here. Didn't really say too much,
but obviously a response
to some of these reports.
Emerson and 3M, 3M may argue with this because it's, say, Asia, but Emerson's, the growth from Emerson is from China. A lot of it is from China. So this has been a play that a lot of people think, like Caterpillar, is dependent upon a trade agreement. These guys are saying, that I believe the actors say, you can't just be trade agreement, non-trade agreement.
Right.
This is one of the great performers of all time, but it is not.
Is it time for Farr to go?
The stock's been underperforming.
Okay.
How was that for an answer?
Very diplomatic.
Right?
Very much.
And how often am I Jeffersonian like?
Hardly ever.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You were dead right on that WeWork, though.
I was good on WeWork.
Day one.
Hey, how am I doing on Juul? Yeah. I ain't be Juuling. I'd rather drool in Juul. That's what they're saying.
By the way, just in case you weren't aware, we are a podcast.
Get out.
Yes, we are.
But you don't work on a podcast because most of the things you do are just silent to me, making me look like an idiot. It's like Charlie Chaplin.
Oh, I am here to try and make you look like an idiot. But listen to us because, well, every day you can do it.
That's why
you... Just go to CNBC.com/... podcast.
Listen to us because you should listen to us?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a real come. Wow. Where'd you learn that?
I'm really good at this.
Rune Arledge? Is that from Rune Arledge?
Man himself.
The jaws of victory.
Futures green for this first day of October and the fourth quarter. Plenty to talk about. We'll get Cramer's playbook for the next 3 months. Talk about what the week might bring because it's far from over. We're back in a moment. You're watching CNBC Squawk on the Street, live from the financial capital of the world, the opening bell. In about 3 minutes, busy morning as we kick off Q4. One thing I want to touch on before we get to stocks is this JGB auction. We never talk about JGB auctions in Japan, but it did spark a spike in rates all around the world.
Well, I don't know how it was possible. I mean, but yeah, the fact is that None of them. I've been waiting for these all to fail.
Auctions to fail. It was the worst since, 2016, I think?
Yeah. No, was it worse than... Was that the worst? 2011?
Worst auction in 3 years. Yeah.
Well, I mean, what are we doing? Like, a lot of these countries should just be buying our dollar, which, because we know the dollar's the strongest, then buying our bonds, because we still have overinflated short-term rates. Why do people participate in these auctions where you know you're going to lose money? What kind of fiduciary would ever just say, you know what, I'm going to lose money?
Well, some of them have an obligation to own a certain amount of this paper.
Counting on the Bank of Japan to continue to inflate its ownership.
And deflation has been something they've seen for a long time in Japan. That said, negative rates kill your banking system.
Right.
Kill your banks.
They do.
So you got to figure out a way out of it. Now the Bank of Japan seems to be somewhat more focused on that.
Well, did you see the Eurozone their inflation rate? Oh my God.
So Eurozone inflation is near a three-year low, and their PMIs at 45.7, weakest since 12. Germany, weakest since 09. Well,
these are all big trading partners of China. China's at the epicenter of all this because the Chinese have a slowing economy. And, you know, you're not going to get it from them. The 70th, they have some real good weapons they unveiled. And then, meantime, you have Hong Kong. We don't even talk about enough Hong Kong.
Hong Kong's a mess. The protesters there being shot with blue water cannons. The Hong Kong police have confirmed that one protester was shot by a live round. As the 70th anniversary of the modern China government is today, markets are closed for a week. Xi Jinping making some public appearances in Beijing.
But did you see who congratulated them? The president there had some positive.
Said congratulations on 70 years.
70 years.
70 years of communism. Way to go.
Chinese people on 70th anniversary. Wow. I don't know. Why did he do that? Oh, sorry I asked. I mean, why did he do that? I mean, maybe his good friend Xi, maybe we settle this over a golf game? There's some real issues. We didn't gotten the fentanyl stopped yet. When are they going to stop the fentanyl?
Something to talk about when they get here in about 10 days.
Yeah.
There's the opening bell. S&P 500 at the CNBC Real-Time Exchange. At the big board, it's Old Republic International, an insurance holding company. At the NASDAQ, it is Papa John's International, the third largest pizza delivery company. And we know how big a category pizza is.
They're doing better.
Restaurants.
Remember, the big one, I think, the big change is Yum. Yum is doing better, and that's been a terrific stock. By the way, in my playbook of what you do, you buy these stocks that have been unbelievable performers, like a Yum. Wow. Chipotle, no stopping that one now. Hey, you know what? I had the, talking to Carl during the break, I happen to have the Tyson chicken nuggets that are plant-based. Now, they're not ready to be released yet, but I have to tell you, I defy you to tell me that they don't taste better than a regular chicken nugget.
Really?
Yes, really. I mean, they were just fabulous.
Right.
What?
I mean, a chicken nugget's mostly corn anyway. Because the chicken just eats corn.
But this doesn't have any...
It's mostly bread, which is actually probably got
this
chicken,
is plant,
corn...
It's plant-based. It's plant,
corn?
Like if you're a vegetarian, you know?
Corn's a vegetable.
How about the Impossible Lab, where they really have people who say, hey, you know what? This tastes like a hamburger. Well, no kidding. That's the point. It's got GMOs, though. Millennials hate GMOs. Millennials don't like commissions.
They don't like paying commissions.
No.
As Schwab now is going zero commissions, effective October 7th. They say it's going to cut revenue 3-4%.
That was big.
Seems low.
That was big. You know,
But
you think it's all, I mean, well, I just think that any number cut in this environment is just brutal for a stock. Look at Micron.
It is.
It really didn't do that much to.
This Schwab, I mean, it's pressuring everybody in the.
It sure is. It sure is.
Ecosystem. That's Ameritrade, E-Trade, everything's down. There it is.
Something.
You can
see. Look
at Ameritrade.
Wow.
Oh, my.
Holy cow. That's incredible. Wow.
Schwab should do that every day. They'd put them out. They'd send those other stocks down to zero. Can they go negative? Maybe they can go negative. Pay you to do trades.
Oh, you mean like the JGBs?
Yeah. Schwab will pay you to do trades. And
that's
then Ameritrade will be trading at 20 bucks.
How much of it is Robinhood? Which is, you know, I had Robinhood on San Francisco. The millennials love Robinhood because you don't have to pay commission. Wow, that is ouch.
It starts, what, in a week, I think, right? October 7th.
I'm not allowed to trade, but holy cow. You could really wear my jam if it's for free.
That's quite a move.
You can't make that up in volume, Dale, when it's for free.
Say again?
You can't make it up in volume.
No, you can't. It does show you the competitive landscape.
Yes.
They're feeling that they need to respond to what's going on, amongst others, as you say, Robinhood, or others that continue to lower. And the value of actually just having the balances there.
Well, Schwab has that great bank. Remember, Schwab's got that. It's a machine in terms of how much the credit balances.
Yes.
Goldman's trying to have those big credit balances. Got to see how that's doing.
And, I mean, we talk about Schwab. People may not realize it's a $51 billion market cap company.
It should be.
Yeah.
Jeez, it's going to pass Goldman for market cap? Wouldn't that be something?
It's not that far. I
mean, hey, you know what's making a comeback that you guys haven't talked about much? Ulta Beauty.
Yeah, we've been noticing that once again on the leaderboard today.
A lot of feel that it can't last, this downturn. And you go back over that quarter. I deal with a lot of people who are in the hair care and perfume business, cosmetics. No one can understand why they did so poorly. I think they're coming back.
Corn's a grain, by the way. I knew that. I want to make sure.
We're talking about Ulta Beauty.
What about Ulta?
It's coming.
I know it is. You're talking about it
what
coming back.
What program are you watching?
I'm watching this one.
Well, you should put us on periodically. We have a lot of good things.
Are we on television? No, we're a podcast.
We're a podcast now.
McDonald's
primarily a podcast.
Getting hit, David. McDonald's is. They cut the commissions at McDonald's, David.
We were mentioning this leaked audio out of Facebook that The Verge has today, in which Mark Zuckerberg says they would fight an attempt to break up Facebook, says it would suck for the company. Elizabeth Warren now responding says what would really, quote, suck is if we don't fix a corrupt system that lets giant companies like Facebook engage in illegal anti-competitive practices, stomp on consumer privacy rights, and repeatedly fumble their responsibility to protect our democracy.
Jeez. I never thought you could use the word suck on air. I guess that takes care of that. This again is the power of companies. Now, I think that we talked last week about Facebook comes in and does Instagram stories, it does Snap Idea.
Yes.
I don't know. If you remember, Nelson Peltz at Delivering Alpha said, hey, listen, we'll steal people's ideas. I mean, why can't Zuckerberg just say, listen, we're going to do what Snap does? What's the matter with that? What's the matter with that? Why can't he?
Well, if somebody created a rival TV show and had a lightning round, you might have a problem with it.
Someone's doing that on the NFL Network. I'm not kidding. It's on the NFL Network. They're doing exactly the lightning round. I felt like going after them, but I said, like, with what? Hey, guys, cut that out.
It depends on the IP in particular and whether it's defined as something.
You don't like it when the Chinese do it?
Yeah.
Well, the NFL's more powerful than China. NFL's more powerful than anyone, right?
They are powerful.
The NFL's not perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, I saw. He's tossed for the rest of the season, including the
playoffs.
Well,
that was a
bad
hit.
It was a bad
hit.
That was
a really great hit.
By the way, on Facebook, Adam Mosseri of Instagram is going to be on the Today Show tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Talking about apparently some changes to the Instagram feed, so we'll watch for that.
I hope that, maybe they'll back the businesses that are all doing great stuff on Instagram. You remember a lot of businesses. I think you do it. You open a set on Instagram, then you immediately go
Able to buy within the app.
Yeah, and then you go to Spotify, and then you go to Amazon Web Services, and next thing you know, you're a business.
Yep.
Holy cow, have you ever seen this stuff? Like, we're buying stuff. I was talking to Dow Chemical. You know, the Glad bags. No, you got reusable bags. I saw them on Spotify. It goes right to your house, and you put them in a dishwasher.
Jim, speaking of names like Ulta that are trying to come back from a big drop, you tweeted today on Roku, feels like a shanked punt.
Yeah, because it's
dangerous.
Like,
what does
dangerous.
That mean?
Well, it's just like you can go anywhere. You know, it could be something like Brian Westbrook runs back against the Giants. Deshaun Jackson runs up against the Giants. And I just feel like that you don't know. Roku is just, you don't know what's going to happen with Roku. Because you don't know whether Apple TV, boy, they ran a lot of Apple ads.
The ads on every NFL game.
Yeah, wow, they spent
10 minutes.
Apple was for the moment.
Although,
there. Remember when Budweiser used
Disney,
Apple?
Disney Plus has a pretty powerful ad
but that's Roku.
Campaign going as well.
I know, but you don't know. Roku is, maybe it costs, look, everyone, we have to find out how many different things millennials are willing to watch. We don't know.
By the way, the only beneficiary right now of all these streaming services is network television.
Are the showrunners of Stranger Things.
Oh, yes.
New nine-figure deal for season four.
That's where it's all ending up, all these digital companies spending enormous amounts on the old platforms.
How about Dish, where I have to watch these advertisers about, you know, don't drop us, we'll drop you.
Well, they're right.
What the hell is that?
They're fighting with,
That sucks. Meanwhile, Apple, because Tim Cook made a comment in Bild, B-I-L-D, David, that's a German publication, saying that sales are strong, that is completely the opposite of all the slagging that he's getting on Wall Street.
What about not being given tariff relief on some of these Chinese components, even though they're building the macro?
On the Mac, I thought for sure that was, you got to talk to Lighthizer and Navarro, because I thought that was a done deal. That was incredible.
Stock doesn't seem to care.
Switcheroonie McFatty, David. But look at this Apple. 233, I don't think you can take out 233.
Well, you were out yesterday, but JPM took their December 2020 target to 265.
I know, that was important. These are important. Look, if Tim Cook if he's saying that more than it's just like a good long, I think the 11 is rippling through. It was a very low expectations. The three camera on Instagram is so powerful. It's like a $1,700 Nike camera. It's that good.
It's that good, really.
And not only that, but you saw the ad where you can pulverize and you can put it in water. I mean, when my wife ruined the 7 by washing it, you know, and we had, thank God the prenup continued. It says you can't do that and it's okay. But it is amazing to me that this new one, you didn't think it was funny? There's no prenup. Never mind. The new phone being able to withstand and also have the camera, I think the 11's doing much better than expected. My channel checks that I do, which are actually real, indicate sold out, sold out, sold out. Sold out. Sold out watch, by the way. Sold out watch.
Yep. The Series 5.
Yep, the Series 5 watch, which allows me to press a button and David disappears. I transpon him over to the NASDAQ. Poof! Poof!
Is that something you'd like to do?
Which, no,
you
know, I like
you.
The
viewers now think that you really want to do that.
No, I like you.
Or the podcast listeners.
I like you. It's a good guy. Likes his dog.
Oh, I got a good guy. That's what I get out of you? A good guy after all these years?
Hey, listen, sunshine. Should be glad I threw that at you. You know, it's Larry Culp's 4-year anniversary.
Yes, it is.
And what do you think?
I think GE's still below 9.
The insight you're bringing to the show is really
listen, GE's got a hard road ahead of them. It's, you know,
it was a reset.
Part of the power you can make a lot of progress on. Obviously, the industrial business is doing okay. However, the insurance part of the business, just dealing with that,
care?
Jim, long-term care.
But the Kansas regulators.
You just got to wait. You know, you just got to
Wait till the people die? That's what long-term care is about. It's waiting for this vintage of people. They use that word. I don't mean to use that. But they use the vintage of people who got those policies, and you're trying to ameliorate those policies. But you know, you're talking about a policy you paid very little, and you're spending $200,000 a year in home health, and GE's on the hook. They're trying to mitigate.
They are, and you'll continue to, but it just takes time to really to work.
I know, and that's part of the reason why 2019 is a reset year. So we're waiting for if TUSA hasn't. Maybe TUSA wishes Culp a happy birthday. Oh my God, is that? Tuesday should do a happy birthday piece from J.P. Morgan.
Is it birthday or anniversary? Anniversary of his taking over.
Instead of birthday?
Right?
Okay, anniversary.
1 year.
All right.
Anniversary.
Got to move on.
Yeah.
Apple is leading the Dow, to your point earlier, Jim. As we're back to 2990 almost, let's get to Bob Pisani. Bob?
Yeah, heading towards 3,000 pretty fast. And it's a cyclical rally by and large. Take a look here what's going on. So we have semiconductors up nicely today. That's Apple helping things out. Retail, metals and mining stocks, banks. These are all cyclicals here. And, of course, defensive names like utilities are lagging. That's a pretty good sign overall. Just let me show you Apple and the Apple suppliers because he's right. We're right near a 52-week high. Not there yet, but near a 52-week high on Apple. And here's some of the Apple suppliers that are all up nicely. Of course, comments from Tim Cook that the new iPhone 11 sales off to a a very strong start. Those are his words here, all helping the market overall. So we're starting October. The problem with right now is we're kind of in a wishy-washy middle phase. There's nothing really tremendously oversold or overbought. If you take a look at some of the things, utilities have had an amazing month in September. They're a bit on the overbought side. Oversold, not a lot. I see metals and mining have been sold rather aggressively going into the end of September. Biotech was sold rather aggressively. And some of the recent IPOs, we've covered that one pretty well. Let me just show you what happened in September for some of the IPOs that have happened in the last 3 or 4 months. So CrowdStrike, PagerDuty, Chewy, Pinterest all had terrible months. Most of these 20% or more declines happened in the last 2 weeks of the year. The IPO ETF, as we mentioned, moved down to the lowest level since February there. I thought it was very amusing. You could tell the venture capitalist marketers kind of concerned about how IPOs have been doing. There's been reports that some of the venture capitalists have been trying to convince people over in California who are considering IPOs to use direct listings. This is an interesting idea. I agree the cost of IPOs is high. It could be 4 to 7% of the proceeds. The results can be uneven. It can be annoying and disappointing, but just point out here that any kind of direct listing does not guarantee that anything nice is going to happen. If you look at Spotify, remember the reference price that we used? It's not a price. They use a reference price. It was 132. You know, now we're looking at, what, 114? So that's not up. If the other one was a direct listing, was Slack, and that was $26. That was the reference price that was used there. Slack's now at $23. So I certainly agree. Alternatively, you can use a direct listing, but you're not raising money, and there is no guarantee that that's going to perform any better for the company overall. Let's talk about what happened with the e-brokers. Jim mentioned this very briefly. This is a rather surprising outcome if you consider what really goes on, how these companies really make money. So Schwab is eliminating commissions for stocks and ETFs. But look at how these companies actually make money. Schwab is essentially a bank. Take a look here. It gets almost all of its revenues from net interest revenue, 57%. It's a bank. Asset management is 32%. Trading revenues is only 8% of the company's revenues. In other words, the company can essentially afford to drop some money on trading revenues, providing it keeps its customers and its continuing ability to scale up. Now, there is a lot of competition out there, not necessarily from the e-brokers. There's other people that are poaching the territory. J.P. Morgan's got UInvest out there, these low-cost brokerage firms. We've got Bank of America with low-cost brokerage. Robinhood is out there. We know all sorts of competition that's out there. It's not dramatic. Eating into the e-brokers yet, but the key thing here is keep the customers in-house. Schwab's been very successful with their ETF platform. They're now one of the big five. That's been working, so don't lose the customers even if you have to cut the prices. That's the key right now. Guys, back to you.
Bob Pisani, thank you very much. Let's get to the bond pits as well. Rick Santelli, as we have ISM Manufacturing on the way. Rick?
Yes, we do. We have that on the way as well. And maybe the most important thing, and everybody's been talking about, you guys have been talking about it today, and that's weak PMIs, weak inflation. And all this in Europe is very important because we're in this kind of race to the bottom. What's the first thing you read when you hear these stories? Is that the dollar is strong, hasn't crossed over 100 since April. But that is the issue. Will we follow? Look at how these patterns are so uniform. Here's our tenure since the end of August. And I picked the end of August because the move that started there that we're retracing about halfway, you'll see it on our tenure chart. You see it on Boone's. And maybe the pattern's a little different, but here's a French tenure, same pattern. Here's a Canadian tenure, same pattern. Here's an Australian 10-year, same pattern. By the way, Australia lowered rates today, historic lows, and their 10-year now is under 100. And even though all the rates may differ, at the end of the day, the fact is we're all moving together, and policies are going to start to ramp up because the European Central Bank didn't do enough when they had a chance, and now as Christine Lagarde comes in, welcome to the show. And as for the dollar index I mentioned earlier, it is getting ever closer to 100, and I'm sure this administration doesn't like it. Some exporters say they don't like it, but at the end of the day, we probably should like our data better than many countries whose currencies are weaker, along with their economies. Carl, Jim, David, back to you.
All right, Rick, thank you very much. Got big news in the world of college sports, of course. Yesterday, California becomes the first state allowing college athletes to profit from endorsements. Governor Gavin Newsom signing that measure into law, despite the NCAA calling the move unconstitutional. David's been working this a bit here, David. Fascinating.
It's a fascinating story, one that we've sort of followed in a sense in terms of the ability of amateur athletes to get paid. Some of these kids obviously are really at the college solely to play sports. They can't get compensated, the small group of them, that their uniforms might be used in various ways. The colleges make money from them. But the NCAA has raised the prospect of a boycott of these California universities. And my understanding is, at least according to a number of antitrust experts and other sources, that were that to be the case, that you might very likely see action from the DOJ Department of Antitrust saying, hey, you're acting as a monopoly.
Wow. Right? Now that's a real monopoly.
You're in coordination around the country. And so the NCAA better think long and hard about whether it wants to try to implement some sort of boycott here in response to Mr. Newsom signing of this bill, Governor Newsom signing of this bill, because it does appear that they're going to have to think about the possibility of the DOJ Antitrust Division responding.
Wow. You know, if anyone remembers the Fab Five, fabulous Fab Five, 30 for 30. And they were, gosh, why are we paid? In Michigan, everyone's buying our stuff. Why should we not be paid? And
it's a lot of
NCAA just
it's that,
crushed
it's that gymnast who on YouTube who got wasn't getting paid right. for all the different plays. Ed O'Bannon, I mean, started this. There's, you know, LeBron James was a part of the effort as well in California. I believe was there for the.
What is unbelievable? I mean, look, I was a scholarship work study kid, and I got paid to proofread. That was how I put myself through school, and these guys are like making fortunes for their schools, and that doesn't count. I mean, how can that not count? You know, just give them. It's a job.
If most of them were ending up with a 4-year degree, you'd say one thing, but the fact is that's not the case.
Plus, it's hard to imagine these schools in the Southeastern Conference or the Big Ten just standing by, right?
Right.
Powerhouses in the, within the
totally.
There are other states that are may very well follow California's
yeah.
leader.
Wow, this is a big story. We got to follow this
story.
DOJ. I mean, that's a great business story for us.
Yep. When we come back, shares of U.S. Steel are down more than 30% this year, but the stock's getting a lift as the company announces a new stake. We're going to talk with the CEO as Dow's up 124, and we're back within 10 points of 3K. Got two companies with market caps above $1 trillion, Microsoft and Apple. Apple, though, trying to catch up as it now hits 227, almost 228. We'll get stopped trading with Jim in a minute. Dow's up 107. Time for Stock Trading with Jim.
You know, Carl, David almost always asks me in your absence, what's the key to this market? It's Micron. I'll tell you why. Micron, when they reported last week, just crushed the market. And we had Sanjay Mehrotra, and he was talking about how, listen, the forecast's not that great, but 2020 is going to be terrific. It's buying back. It's going to another $7 billion in stock here. If this stock can hold, all of those semis that are running will continue to run, and you'll have your leadership group from now till the end of the year.
Semis.
Yes, but Micron has to hold.
Wow.
Because, boy, that group is just a coiled spring.
Jim, what's tonight on MAD?
You know what's up the most? The utilities. And Con Ed is up more than 20%. How do you like these German, Japanese bond buyers? This is a bond. It's like you got a 3% yield. This guy McAvoy is very sharp. And it yields, you know, it's up 20%. That's incredible to me. So risk-free 20% versus what? Lose a percent because you're banking on the government? That's some trade, huh? Schwab, you can trade all you want, David.
All you want.
All you can eat. All you can
eat. Ameritrade's down 23%.
That's impossible, Bert.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.